the Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack!
Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies. That is our usual remit here, and we're not changing anything up. I think that if we were ever going to change something up, Carlos, it would not be this weekend, because this past weekend was awesome. It was a really good time. There are a lot of really cool facets to talk about here for anybody who was at the Tampa Bay Rowdies game in Jacksonville. I'm sure they already are aware of what I'm talking about or know even stuff that I don't know. It was really good. For anybody who was not there, please enjoy the next hour or so that we talk about not only last weekend, but obviously the preview of this upcoming weekend. The Rowdies are looking good, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on in the USL Championship specifically. So, that's where I am right now. Carlos, what are you doing? How are you feeling on this Tuesday night? I know that you're probably recovering from some jet lag.
Yeah, I was. I posted on Twitter, I think. My pictures from the Liga game, the team my dad and I follow in Ecuador. We didn't go to Ecuador this weekend just for that. It happened to be a great game this weekend between them and their coastal rivals, Barcelona Sporting Club, not to be confused with FC Barcelona. The logos are almost identical, so it's a little confusing. But it was a great game. We lost. The atmosphere was electric as always, and people were fighting, and the cops were fighting people in the stands, and it was a war zone. And it was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, this was fun. It was intense. Just like the game on Saturday, which I couldn't watch live. So I was with my like mediocre data internationally. So I was vigorously refreshing FOTMOB in the taxi, only to see the notification at the very end of the game that we won with a 94th minute goal. I'm sure it was a lot more fun in person, James. You were there. We're currently live at 5:43. We're back at our normal time on this Tuesday evening of recording. I would love to hear, if you're listening to this live, any of your experiences or your stories from Jacksonville, because I know there was, James, you were over there. How many people could we get over there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like 50 people were up in our portion of the stands, which is where they kind of shoved all of the supporters section folks.
Yeah.
And then I would venture possibly another 50 people were in the section in front of us, which seemed to be mostly away fans. It wasn't all people who were, on the drums and chanting and screaming and singing the whole time. But there were a lot of people wearing Rowdies gear. So I assume that most of those were also away fans. There were people definitely wearing away team gear. It seemed like a couple friends and family folks. In particular, Brian Schaefer, who I believe is from the Jacksonville area to begin with. He's got folks around there, obviously. So I think that there were a lot of people in our section that was chanting, screaming, banging on drums, and then a lot of people in front of us as well. So I don't have set figures, but between 50 and 100, I would say in some form of Rowdies gear.
Great. Yeah. And once we run through the quick recap and we talk about the game a little bit, I want to go to James and get James's experience a little bit firsthand from the away game. Cause I always love when we get a great away turnout. I think it just makes it more fun, and it's cool to see on TV. And I know there were some great stories about how Jacksonville as a club managed the away invasion of Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casual, so we can talk about that in a little bit as well. I saw some of that on Twitter on the Ralph's Mob account. So it seems like overall it was a very exciting time. maybe stressful for the first 90 minutes or so. Maybe not what we were looking for, but I think we can say it was probably worth the wait at the end of the game. James, in short, I'm good. I'm in one piece. My girlfriend just DoorDashed some Dunkin' iced coffee,
nice,
which was very subtly handed to me on off screen. So we're in business and we're going to talk some rowdies here, James.
I like it.
Let's do it. Let's jump into it. Before we do that, I'm going to remind everybody, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's a little button that'll say subscribe. So go ahead, subscribe to us, click the like button. Subscribe to us on any major platform where you get your social media doom scrolling, at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads, everywhere and everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. And of course, all major podcast platforms. Be sure to like us or whatever you can do. Can you subscribe on like Spotify? Click the little plus button. We'll say like or follow or whatever. Anyway, James, now that we got the logistics out of the way, the advertisement, let's talk a little bit about this game. Do you want to take us through the quick recap of how this crazy game went down at Hodges Stadium in Jacksonville?
Absolutely. So as we do, let's start with the starting 11 for this game, and then we'll move on to the standings and our own standings in our RBLR prediction game. So Austin Pack started in net for the second game in a row. Dion Aycoff, Brian Schaefer, Nathan Dos Santos, and Sebastian Cruz were the back four. We have seen Charlie Ostrom, obviously, as the left back. Not this past weekend. They just wanted to switch things up. Lewis Hilton and Max Schneider were the more defensive midfielders behind Marco Micheletto, Pedro Dolabella, and Russell Cicerone. And anybody who was waiting for this, you finally got the chance to see MD Meyer start up top for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Yeah. I think it looked pretty good for a lot of the game. And, you know, there were moments, obviously, when we could have done better because we needed to score in the 90th plus 3 or 4 minutes. But, yeah. We were waiting to see that, and I think it did look good. There was obviously a very good crowd from the Tampa Bay Rowdies fans. I already pointed that out. And I will just say to anybody who's watching this who was not a part of this away day, this is something that we can do relatively frequently, not like in England. In England, you can get on a bus and go in, you know, an hour in any direction, and you are in some team's away day stadium, probably in your own league and what have you. So it's a lot easier probably in smaller countries. But now in Florida, we've got Sarasota Paradise that we're going to be playing. We've got Naples that we did play last year. Obviously, there is Miami, who have a couple of fans. And there is Sporting Jacksonville now. Charleston's not that far away. It's not, I haven't been there. Birmingham, also not that far away, and I have been there. So there are a lot of places that we could do this and we could set this up. I would just like to put this out there. If you are interested, point this out. I will be doing at least one more Rowdies away day this year, and that will be up in Brooklyn. That's just timing with another trip, so if you're going to that one, let me know. But otherwise, yeah, let's try and do this more frequently because it's absolutely awesome. I think that the result obviously helps us out a lot here, but it was a really, really good time. And a lot of people, I hope, enjoyed themselves on this trip. So that's my little, I'll get off my soapbox now and continue with our show. Standings update. We officially lead the league. We are overall first in the East and the league itself. So we can go through that. Lou City lost and San Antonio drew. That really helped us out. In the Eastern Conference, the Rowdies and Lou City both have 12 points. I believe that we now have the greater goal differential. So that puts us top in the league again. And obviously in the Eastern Conference, that helps us out greatly here. We're going to get into all of the different things, I suppose, that could happen this weekend when we do our preview. Charleston have 9 points because they beat Louisville City. So they jumped up to that position. And Hartford also have 9 points. The Miami of all teams. One that I was just disparaging, obviously. But the Miami have 8 points and they sit in fifth place. Not too bad overall. In the West, San Antonio have 11 points because of their recent draw. El Paso have 10. Sacramento and Orange County both have 8, while Oakland, somebody that we are going to be returning to later in the show, have 7 points. Orange County are on 8 points because they beat Oakland in their last game, and that was for that brought them up to 8 points. Obviously, there was a lot interesting about that Oakland game. We're gonna have to get to it later on, but just stick around. There's good stuff to go over there. I'll quickly do our own prediction standings as well. Eureka, Carlos, and Connor all lead with 6 points. I have 5, and Parker has 4. So our writers are doing interesting here. Connor, like I said, is part of the leading group, while Parker has 4. And our producer, Eureka, is joining Carlos at the top of that table. We'll see how it continues to play out. So far, as long as you keep predicting wins, then you're good. And that maybe that's a little hint for where I'm going later on. But yeah, we'll get there when we get there. Yeah. Let's get into the questions here, Carlos. I want to get your take on this before we start talking about the game itself, because once we start talking about the game itself, I'm going to get lost in the sauce of what this past weekend was. So I'm going to turn it over to you here.
Yeah. Before anything, I just want to note there is so much to talk about like the stands and the fan and the away day experience. I'll save some of that, most of that for you since you were there. I can speak to that. But I will say, I think Rugby King on the YouTube comments is Connor, I'm pretty sure. He said it was blasting Duval, heckling the Jacksonville flag guy was the best part of the game before the goal. Sounds like a blast. James, I'm sure you can attest to that as well, having been there. Light crowd going into this one in Jacksonville, just south of 2,000. Pretty interesting, by the way, because they opened with... it was close. Was it 11,000? It was north of 10,000 people in their first home game. And after that, they haven't cracked 2,000 in their next two home games. Right. So interesting. Kind of a weird Sporting Jax is a weird club as a whole. So just something to note and as they kind of figure out their identity early on, which I think made this away day takeover quite easy in terms of the crowd makeup. Okay. To the game itself. You mentioned the lineup. Of course, MD Meyers getting the start up top. Notable because we've been waiting for him to get healthy and make his way over to the field as a starter. Cicerone getting the start again is not all that surprising. He's been great. Maybe a quieter game in this one than we'd seen in the first three games in terms of just like raw offensive productivity, especially when you compare it to that last game at home when he was ripping shot after shot after shot and probably deserved at least a goal or an assist in that one. What did surprise me, James, is in the midfield when we talked about MD Meyers coming back and how that was going to have to, in my head, we were going to have to sacrifice either starting Dolabella or Micheletta, which would have been really difficult because they're both in great form. They're both incredibly productive in their offensive output and their chance creation. Turns out Dominic Casciato did not like that idea and just decided we're going to put MD Meyers in and we'll take Charlie Ostrom out because that makes sense. Like it worked, but it wouldn't have even crossed my mind as a possibility, right? Instead of taking out either Dolabella or Micheletto, to put MD Meyers in the striker spot and move one of those into that kind of attacking midfield role. He kept both of those guys in, put Dolabella like right behind Meyers. And instead of playing Cruz out on the wing, he shifted one of those guys out to the wing, put Cruz at left back, which he played very well, and put Charlie Ostrom on the bench, who, by the way, came in and made the game-winning play at the end of the game. So, regardless, we got still some great offensive productivity from him as well, who I think I've been waiting for a little bit more from because he's yet to reach his full potential. Charlie Ostrom is really talented. So I think we started to see some glimpses of that at the end of this game, which, by the way, he came in the 86th minute and made that play in the 93rd, 94th minute. Awesome. Conway comes in the 61st minute, gets the goal at the end. Awesome. But I think so. Overall, and when you talk about things that catch your eye off the rip, when you're just talking about lineups, that was the one for me. I was really, really intrigued by that move. I was intrigued at how much Dominic Casciato trusts a guy like Sebastian Cruz to be able to be so versatile. So much so that he's playing this left back position for the full game. Like, it's not like he just comes in, right, and in like, I don't know, or there's a sub made in the 70th minute and Cruz has to like drop back to the back line for like 20 minutes or something. He played this role the whole game and did so really well. Even hit the post on a shot. Like, I think having a guy like him on the back line is really interesting because you know he wants to get upfield or downfield and rip a shot or two from outside the box. And we know he has the ability to put one in the corner just like he did, you know, at home recently. So I don't mind having him back there at all because I think you have a really dangerous offensive weapon who's also playing on your back line at that point. Mm-hmm. And of course, you keep – because you keep everything, you make that move, you can keep everything else in place that's been working, right? Schneider and Hilton stay together in the midfield, continue to be just this incredible dynamic duo. And then, of course, the rest of the lineup remains the same from last week. Dos Santos, Schaefer, Akoff, Austin Pack. Still no Leland Archer on the bench either. So we'll have to see once he comes back. If we make a move on the back line, again, I think that's going to be really hard to do. It's going to be a hard sell when you've played four games and conceded one goal, which, by the way, was a wonder goal on a free kick, right? The Rowdies through four games have not conceded a goal in open play, which is insane, obviously. For all intents and purposes, I'm going to count that Loudon game as a shutout too. And by the way, throwing in the fact that Austin Pack got his second start in a row here, Jamali was available. He came back from playing for Jamaica, who unfortunately did not qualify to the World Cup. We can talk a little bit more about that later on.
Yeah.
But he was available on the bench, still with Austin Pack. I'm sure it's just like letting Jamali kind of take a couple more days to rest up and maybe not have to jump right back into things. And I think he did pretty well for, again, the limited amount of time he was called on. Side note, this guy must have the most like nonchalant aura I've ever seen. If you've seen these like post-game like videos that the social media team has done in the locker room, everybody's hype, everybody's talking or whatever. Austin Pack is just sitting back in both of like the last two wins that we've had. He's been sitting back in the locker just doing one of these like, I love it. I mean, the guy's awesome. So never talked to him once in my life. Don't really know what he sounds like or, you know, anything about Austin Pack other than that he plays for the Rowdies and has put together two serviceable appearances back to back and gotten a shutout. So good for him. Overall, I think the continued storyline, James, is that obviously your Rowdies are 4-0, right? You go into this weekend with an opportunity to continue that streak and have your best start to your best ever start. I think once you get, if you hit five wins in a row, and you still have the ability to move guys around and have them play more than serviceably in multiple positions. It's the same storyline from last week, same storyline from the week before. And that's a great thing, right? I'll ask you, James, before we talked about like the fan stuff and the experience of the game. This is the first time that it's kind of taken this long to get a goal in this early portion of the season for us. We've been so productive offensively. I don't think it's something to be like concerned about necessarily. We're 4-0. But maybe why do you think it took us 90 plus minutes to get that opening and closing goal on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a very interesting game, right? The Rowdies are obviously doing well, and on the other side of things, Jacksonville have not been doing well at all to start the season.
Yeah,
that continued obviously, but it did take all of that time. I think at a certain point, you know, there's the inevitable. It's just difficult to break down a team in its defensive shape kind of argument. And it's not that the Rowdies were just completely overwhelming them and everything was so, we should have scored a bunch of goals. We didn't necessarily have the same type of game that I honestly expected us to. It was still a lot of good build-up play. I think that, in all honesty, maybe there was a recognition that the team or the two separate teams' forms. And the Rowdies expected that eventually something was going to work for them. Just, you know, don't get frantic here. Keep doing what has been working, so to speak.
Yeah.
And eventually it will work. And then it doesn't necessarily have to mean that the Rowdies were playing poorly, because I don't think that we were doing poorly. No. At the same time, Jacksonville was doing what they needed to stifle us, and we would, okay, well, that one didn't work. We're going to recycle possession. We're going to try again. As Connor at Rugby King 1540 points out, yes, Jax did have a couple of decent chances themselves. They absolutely did. But I think that Austin Pack came up with the saves that he needed when we needed him to. Also, though,
one really big save. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he definitely did. But also, our defensive unit generally played very well again in this game. It was just it was the Rowdies, I think, trying to keep themselves on an even keel throughout the game. I said, I think that we were practicing the same general patterns, because we have obviously the same general players out there. Sebastian Cruz at left back was a little bit different. He probably didn't get up in the exact same way that Charlie Ostrom would. He would probably cut inside a lot more, obviously, because he is right footed. And he's not going to go out and up the wing the way that Charlie Ostrom might. Dion Acuff out on the right side. We're going to talk about him more here. But Dion Acuff kept up his usual role of trying to break down the right side, get up and get some crosses or cutbacks. Also, lots of cutback attempts in this game to try and get some shots off with players arriving in the box late.
By the way, he came off at halftime last week, which I thought was somewhat notable, not because I knew for a certain it was an injury or anything like that, or maybe it was probably more tactical because he looked fine. Got a full 90 under his belt again this past weekend, and I want to note that, because I think it is notable, because we've talked about him at the beginning of the season being the question mark, right? What is Dion Acuff going to be for the Rowdies? Are we going to sign another right back, right? Is Dion Acuff going to be the guy we start on the right side? 34 years old, right? Probably the most veteran guy on the team in terms of, the point of his career. Mm-hmm. But again, this is in his fourth appearance, second full 90 game. The first one was the opener against Birmingham. Played most of the game against Pittsburgh, came off halftime against Loudoun. So if there were any concerns about the stamina of Dion Acuff on the right side or his ability to be physical at 34 years old, I think I'm at a point where we can totally throw that out the window four games into the season. By the way, I want to throw that in there while we're talking about him.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to save this for a different portion of this review, but we might as well get into it here with the player performances really quickly. Dion Acuff, I owe him an apology. I think that I was probably one of the more skeptical people about him starting all the time. And I had asked, is somebody else going to be the starting right back? Are we going to bring somebody in? Are we going to use Sebastian Cruz there? Because he played there a couple of times in preseason. He will probably end up playing at right back at some point over the course of the season. But yeah. Dion Acuff is more than acceptable in this role. If he continues to play this way for the rest of the season, obviously barring any injuries, what have you, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I think that Dion Acuff has, in the last four games, he has proven me to be stupid and bad at this job that I am doing. So, fantastic game from Dion Acuff. I'm going to talk about his stats a little bit later on, but he did well. Sebastian Cruz, I think, did well also in this one. Maybe not as influential as I might have wanted at times. It's hard to keep that up, obviously, over the course of several games in a row. Max Schneider and Lewis Hilton continued to do well defensively. I would have wanted a couple more things offensively from them in this game, probably just to contribute, obviously, to us getting a couple of those chances. And then two other players for me that really stood out, Brian Schaefer and Nathan Dos Santos. Again, they have had a lot of a lot written about them so far over the very early course of this season, but it's all deserved. They are very good at their jobs, and they are starting to settle in together. You mentioned that Leland Archer was not on the bench yet. He's going to do well at some point in the season, but yeah. No one should be worried that Leland Archer is out, or I'm assuming if injuries pop up, no one should be worried if Nathan Dos Santos or Brian Schaefer end up out for a long period. I think that we have a ton of quality here. There's a lot of quality all across this roster, and Dominic Casciato, maybe that's one of the biggest things that I've seen so far, is just his ability to build a competent, capable roster.
Yeah. Yeah, across the board, it's insane that that you have Schaefer and Dos Santos in there playing so well, that you have arguably one of like the top 3 to 5 center backs in the league, and Leland Archer still waiting to come back. I don't know how you don't put him on the field, but also don't know how you take off either Schaefer or Dos Santos at the moment. It's pretty crazy position to be in for them and for Casciato, but probably a problem he would love to have. So I'm glad we're in a position to have that kind of quality where we can rotate one of those guys if they need a break, right? Maybe there's always a point in the season where you're playing a tough stretch of games, right? I wouldn't have any concerns about, benching a center back for a game to give them a rest if they've, been playing a ton of soccer, right? Or like you said, the injury problems that we've had in the past.
Almost certainly happen at some point over the course of this
season. Yeah, I was going to say, like, knock on wood, that we stay perfectly healthy all year. But someone will go down as things go, right? And then maybe for a short period, maybe for a long period. But either way, you have guys that can step in pretty well. In some cases, like, really, really well. Like, you're talking like guys that will come off the bench and still be like top 5 in their position in the league, right? It's a pretty incredible position to be in. And like you said, I think it's credit to the Ratty's front office this offseason so far. Again, we're still only 4 games into the year, but we've seen enough of a sample size at this point to say that it's a more than competent roster, if nothing else, right? Unless there's a dramatic fall off, we can say that there's a lot of talent and it's really well constructed. So shout out to obviously Dominic Casciato, Ratty's front office, Nico Castillo, Ryan Helfrich, in whatever role he is involved in on the soccer side of things. Great job this offseason so far. Mm-hmm. So offseason and into this regular season so far. We talked about some of the players. Do you want to talk about real quick? So hold on, before we talk about Tampa time, because I like Tampa time. What do you make of our kind of random-ish Brazilian signing? Comes in the 72nd minute, pretty quiet, but he's settling into the Rowdies, and I'm just curious what his role is going to look like with this club. It seems like he has a lot of talent. He seems to have adjusted pretty quickly. Like, it seems like he's celebrating with the guys, like he's been around for months. What do you make of our friend Mateus?
Yeah, he is another player, obviously, that contributed in this game. And I think that one of the things that I picked up on in especially the preseason, because that's where I've seen the most of him so far, he is an attacking first winger, and mostly I think will end up playing on the left. He came on, if I'm not mistaken, let me just double check. He came on, in the same substitution as Luis Perez. So Luis Perez is generally, I think, left-footed and plays over on the right side. And he will probably do that for the majority of the season, whichever games he's not starting. And then Mateus Oliveira came on for Pedro Dolabella.
Yeah.
Took up an attacking position on the right side there. And Russell Cicerone, I think, continued in his attacking position, but maybe stepped kind of farther up with Evan Conway, because we were trying to get more people into attacking positions come the 72nd minute of that game. We were obviously still level 0-0, and it was starting to, not to get frantic, because I mentioned that earlier, the Rowdies want to play a certain way, and I think that they were maintaining their patterns, but it did look like they were doing, it did look like they were just trying to get more bodies forward, right? More bodies into positions where they can challenge Jacksonville, especially in that. So yeah, he is going to be an elegant on the ball player. I think that there are a lot of Brazilians that kind of fit that mold.
And that's a great word for that, by the way. That's a good word to describe the little bit I saw from him this weekend. Very elegant on the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to be the guy who goes, I don't know, those lung busting, just sprint runs to the end line, cut back and whip it back into the box. He will definitely get some crosses in, but I think that he's a guy who will look to beat you and create his own space, and then look for an option, maybe at the top of the box, like another cutback kind of deal. Despite, you know, he's not the sprinter, but he also can be physical. He's a bigger guy. Louis Perez is a smaller guy, which also doesn't mean that he can't throw his weight around. You know, there are caveats to everything here, but Mateus Oliveira is a larger guy. So seeing him out on the wing was good. And I think that he's going to offer us some stuff there. There's another comment here that I want to add while we're in the middle of this conversation. Speaking of attacking positions, are we going to mention the super fail during the power play? Carlos, what is your take on this one?
The power play.
Well, there was a moment in the game when Jacksonville had a player off the field that was supposed to be coming on. And I think that this was a failed substitution at the time. But we were all in the stands mentioning that there was a power play and that we should take advantage. Unfortunately, you know, it's just not as easy in hockey, because you can kind of condense everybody and sit back for a little bit. So it was probably at most 2 minutes that happened, but really? the power play, it was something that we could have probably done a little bit better. Oh, it was for an injury. There we go. It was for an injury.
Yeah, no, I missed that entirely. So thanks for bringing that up at Code Chef. That's fun. But you know what? I think that kind of goes to the overall, like, summary of this game as a whole is, right, like, Rowdy's knocking on the door for quite some time, sitting on the ball a lot, right? What's the official possession number at the end of the day? 70% possession. Away from home. I think if you go back to, like, the good Rowdy squads we had earlier on in this decade, right? We had, you know, the Neil Collins run of getting to the conference finals, playing a lot of great soccer. What you would remember if you go back to some of those regular season games is a lot of games like this where we have a ton of the ball and we're playing teams who are sitting back, putting all 11 guys behind the ball. And you would probably recall, if you've been around for 6-ish years, that we struggled a lot with those teams that would sit back for 90 minutes, right? These kind of 1-0 results wouldn't always fall our way. In fact, they'd probably fall the other way every once in a while. Playing against teams who were playing in the counterattack like that. Because there's a lot of, like, just playing down the wings and throwing balls into the middle until a goal falls. In this case, I think what I like about this team is that there's a lot of ways to attack, right? We do want, like, they want to play down the wings for sure, but you have guys like, for example, our two shots that hit the post is Mika Leto from outside the box and Sebastian Cruz coming from the left back spot and ripping it from outside the box. Then, of course, you have a lot of guys that like playing down the wings with speed, but you have a lot of guys that like to go right up the middle too, like Dolabella. Like, there's a lot of different ways that this Rowdies team can come at you. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, to your point earlier, they know that too, and they kind of just stick. In this game, they stuck with it, right? Stick to the game plan. It's worked these last four games. Keep, you know, switching up your attack here. At the end, it was, all right, let's turn up the scramble mode a little bit, put everybody in the box. Like, there was a ridiculous amount of bodies in the box for that last goal. But trust our guys to get on the end of a header if you put in a really good ball, which, to Charlie Ostrom's credit, He really did. And Conway was money with his header in the 94th minute. So that's the early positive I like from this team as well, is that against these teams that'll sit back against you, which now I think a lot of teams have enough of a sample size when playing like in film from the Rowdies to understand that there's going to be that might be the best approach for an opponent playing the Rowdies, right? Is just sit back and try and play the counterattack because of the ridiculous amount of firepower in our attack.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So I think you can expect a number of games like this, right? And they're hard to play. Like, these games are really difficult to play. Particularly like away from home, right? Like, maybe this is like, it should be more common when teams are playing us at Al Lang Stadium. But it's not as common when you're going away from home. Teams are more comfortable on their home pitch, try to kind of establish themselves on you. So double credit to the Rowdies for being able to break down this really stout defensive team on this game. They haven't really been all that solid defensively this season, but they turned it up a little bit in this game. And the Rowdies did that away from home too. So I think that's double credit to Cacciato for his system and then the players for trusting in the system up until the very, very end, which paid off, right? So I think that's a big positive for me in this one, for sure, was the confidence in the system, the confidence in being able to stick with what you know, mix up the attack, in comparison to what kind of was successful for us, you know, a number of years ago. This is really exciting soccer. So at the end of the day, it's another win, and the Rowdies remain the only perfect team in the USL so far. There's a couple other teams that are undefeated so far. Hartford is one of them. El Paso is another one, and San Antonio is the other one. But the Rowdies are the only team that have won all of their games so far. We are in first place in the Eastern Conference, tied with Louisville on 12 points and with a game in hand. So great start. You can't really ask for anything better. 8 goals and 1 conceded. This is going to be a lot of fun if we can keep this up. So, but again, that's my biggest takeaway from this game, right? Stick to what has worked so far. Keep mixing up that attack. And it seems like there's not really a team in this league that can prevent you from getting 1 or 2 on the night, at least, if you're playing your game.
Yeah. I would generally agree with that with the Tampa Bay Rowdies team. It's looking good right now.
Yeah. Okay. Before we jump into man of the match and anything to tie this one up, unless you have anything more about the on-field stuff, do you have any more on-field stuff to talk about?
No, I think, you know, that'll be man of the match.
Okay. Yeah. Before we do man of the match, James, I just want to give you a minute, a few minutes if you want to recap a little bit about the experience in Jacksonville with the fans. We can talk a little bit about this this content from Ralph's Mob on social media that I saw and how the interaction with the Jacksonville front office went and everything. But just give us your pitch as to why a Rowdies fan should make the trip to Jacksonville again in June, when I'm sure another number of folks will go to that game for the Prinks Tires Cup, quote unquote.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to call it that, obviously, but yeah, it was a really good time. My wife and I were planning on going to this one, and we saw that there were tickets to the women's game beforehand. We got those. One other person joined us up there, and then everybody else came for the Rowdies game. The Sun weren't playing the women's side for Sporting Jacks, so I understand why there wasn't as much interest in going to the original one. But it was a great atmosphere to have all of us at that game together, and I think that, you know, those people who are in the supporters groups got a march going from the back of the giant parking lot complex up to the stadium itself. Spoke, flares, drums, chanting, singing, all of that good stuff. There's not a lot of other places that I guess we could have marched from. So it was the best way for us to do it. And then once everybody was inside, we all kind of waited in the concourse until we were ushered, I'll say, up to the back corner of the stadium where they wanted us to stay, because clearly they could not handle our chanting and singing. But so they put us all up there. As I said, the back corner was where the supporters section was. In front of us, there were a big group of other Rowdies fans who either were unaffiliated with supporters groups or just people who did not want to be involved in all the chanting and singing and screaming all game long, which is fair enough. But they were still there in green and gold. And it was great for everybody involved to kind of, now that we have the benefit of hindsight here, the 90 plus minutes of buildup were fantastic. Obviously, in the moment, we were all pulling our hair out and scratching our faces and going, come on, why isn't this working? What is going on? What is with this team? Yeah. Why can't we beat Jacksonville? What have you. But it goes on and goes on and goes on. And Charlie Ostrom gets the ball in that Evan Conway heads home. And there have been a couple of moments watching soccer. I just wanted to point this out for everybody. There have been a couple of moments that, multiple former players in the stands with us too. So that's another thing, actually, I should point out. There were a couple of players who I assume live either, you know, in Florida or possibly around the Jacksonville area specifically, who joined us. I believe Daryl Sattler was one of those, former goalkeeper. So, yeah, it was cool. A couple of others whose names I'm forgetting at the moment, but it was a really cool part of the overall experience. And there are a couple of moments that I've had in soccer where I'm watching the game and the circumstances, the way that it plays out, in this case, all the buildup and the relief and everything, you're in that moment and you just lose your mind. You're screaming and you're screaming so hard that you just get a little dizzy, right? I'm just like, leaning backwards, have to reach for somebody to hold you up so you don't fall, all of that stuff. Yeah. That's how it was for me. For the moment that Evan Conway scored, I started screaming so loud that I think it was Stephen Cundiff who was next to me. I had to grab him to make sure that I didn't fall backwards. My wife was somewhere, but too far that I could reach over and grab her. I think Eureka was also next to me too, our producer. We were all just losing our minds, obviously. And then afterwards, like, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds later, whatever it was, the referee blows the whistle and we're all chanting, screaming. And whoever brought smoke in, somebody brought smoke in. I will point this out for the ownership of the Rowdies and Sporting Jacks. Wasn't me, but somebody brought it in and it was set off. It was set off when the goal was scored, but it was still there kind of when the game was. I haven't experienced limbs like that in a long time. Also from
a good point, Connor.
Rugby King. It's the anybody who doesn't know the phrase, it's the limbs when everybody scores. So that's what it was like in the stands.
It wasn't, and then, wasn't Code Chef either, by the way. It wasn't him. It wasn't
definitely him. Not. Definitely not.
Wasn't me either.
When the final whistle blows, we all go down there and we take a big team picture with everybody who was on the field. And if you haven't seen that, honestly, do go check that one out on social media. At least it was awesome. It's a good who was there kind of game. You can pick out all the different faces and everything. But it was so much fun. And we left. Them again, kind of ushering us out, maybe a little bit more forcefully that time. And afterwards, the front office at Sporting Jacks decided that they couldn't handle the smoke, so to speak. And they have changed their away day policies for fans coming for other teams.
I want to read the new policies just real quick, verbatim, as per the Ralph's Mob tweet. This is pretty much directly in response to this away day of, you know, Rowdies fans taking over Hodges Stadium. Supporter section and coordination. Away supporters will be placed in designated section when available. Each traveling group must provide one primary point of contact, yada, yada, yada.
We did both of those things, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, here's the fun part. Flags and banners. No flags or banners. Like, it has like the category of things, and then it's like none of them. So flags and banners, no flags or banners. Drums and instruments, no drums or musical instruments of any kind. Smoke and pyrotechnics. Per league policy, the visiting team is not allowed to use smoke devices. And my understanding, and if anybody from the Ralph's Mob coordinators or organizational leadership are in here listening live, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but looks like it was something that was, you know, very intentionally done with Ralph's Mob. They put their point of put the contact person in direct contact with Jacksonville's front office, and they approved flags, banners, smoke, everything. The Ralph's Mob Twitter account says that Jacksonville just entirely went back on that. That there was like a rogue ticket representative. So code chef says rogue ticket rep who was fired gave us permission. So went back on their word, I guess, the day before the game or day of the game, only for the smoke to be taken in anyway, and then policy to be changed right after the game. So that's fun, you know. Annoying, certainly, but I think a funny story nonetheless. Like, you know, I'm glad our fans kind of gave a little lesson in how to politely break some rules. And Connor says that they also banned us from swearing in the away section. So I'm sure that rule was broken too. Whatever. Good time. The videos looked great. The limbs looked great on TV or on social media. And kudos to everybody that made the trip and made it really fun. So looks to be all the more reason to get back there in June when we play them again. And of course, like James said earlier, all the more reasons to get out to all the close away games. There's several in driving distance now. I look forward to getting down to quote unquote an away game in Sarasota next year. When the time comes, I wish we would have played them away this year, because it would have just been fun to kind of take over off the rip. But there's a lot of fun ones coming up, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We can organize more of these. Whether or not they allow smoke is up to them, and maybe we'll have to see exactly which teams react to Sporting Jacksonville's reaction based on us. But yeah, I think that there will be a lot more moments like this. The last thing that I want to point out related to this game, and we've gone on a long time, I know, we'll do our preview and keep that short, I suppose. But we mentioned previously in this season how Dominic Casciato brought up in a press conference, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson had his old thing. When he was coaching at Man United, he would point to his wrist at the end of the game, and everybody knew it was Fergie time. And in Fergie time, that's when you dial the hell in, let's say, and you go and you make that, you make Man United the team that it is under his reign. It has become something completely different. So I don't know. But right now, we're working on building our own version of that. And we have had at least two games, one in Tampa time so far. Again, anybody who's outside of Tampa specifically, this was Dominic Casciato. Don't come for us. Also, don't come for him. It's just, it's alliteration. It really works that way.
St. Pete time doesn't really work the same.
It doesn't work as well.
It doesn't, yeah. St. Pete, no, it doesn't flow off the tongue.
We can use Tampa Bay for everything else, but I really like Tampa time. And in addition, it seems to really be working. It is working for us. So let's keep that going. Let's keep that going. And in that spirit, let's get our own Tampa time here. Carlos is pointing to the watch. We've gone really long on this one, so long that it's time to do our Man of the Match awards. Carlos, who you got?
I'll be quick. Tampa time legend Evan Conway gets a stoppage time winner, and you know, builds this culture of Tampa time for us. So beautiful goal, great header. I'd be remiss to not mention Charlie Ostrom again for his lovely cross. But Conway has been a welcome addition to the Rowdies this season, and made his presence off the bench felt once again in this one. Good for him getting the goal. 1-0 Rowdies because of our boy Evan Conway.
Yes. And my man of the match is Dion Akoff. As I said previously, I owe him an apology. If he continues to play like this, he should play every game that he's capable of taking over in the 2026 season. He was actually the highest rated player on FotMob, and I just want to point out why. 90 minutes played, obviously, 4 defensive contributions, 3 chances created, but also this 94% accurate passes. And I believe that is the highest of the entire game. So there you go. He was incredible in this one, running up and down for 90 minutes. And I will eat my words, and I will eat my crow, if that's a similar phrase here. So Dion Akoff, hats off to you. You did it. And I hope that you keep doing it for the rest of the season. You're fantastic. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. But before we do that, liking and subscribing is free. If you think you might need some new threads this season, you can support our podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got cooked up there. There will be a link in the description. And if you find something you like, presumably when, you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off. COYR for come on, you rowdies. Mm. So hopefully we'll be seeing you in some RBLR gear coming up this season. You can join us like me with my hat at every single game. That is what I would like to see. All right. Let's James. Move on, Carlos, to the game this weekend coming up Showtime. At Alling Stadium.
James, this will be a big one. This is an opportunity Saturday at 7:30 p.m. to match the Rowdies' best start in the modern era, which was 5 wins in a row in 2021. That really, really incredible season. We rattled off 3-0 win at Charlotte, 3-0 win over Pittsburgh, beat Phoenix at home, beat Miami at home, and then beat Red Bulls away. Notably, by the way, I'll mention that in that 5-game start to the season, the first 4 games were all at home. So maybe making it a little bit easier than our current winning streak, where we've had the Birmingham away win, Jacksonville away win, and now we have an opportunity to make it 5 in a row at home this weekend. So that's a plug to get out to the game, go out, support the boys to match the best start in club history, make it 5-0, and continue on this really, really dominant start to the year. Rowdies are playing against Oakland Roots at Alling Stadium, a team that has been started off pretty well, James. They're kind of in the middle of the pack so far, for whatever that's worth, this early on in the year. They lost 2 weeks ago at home versus Orange County. That was the really funny finish that we talked about last week or the week before that, where the goalie runs on the field, makes it a whole thing, whatever. You can go watch that. It was kind of went semi-viral. On the U.S. soccer spaces. James, what do we know about this Oakland team? Can you give us the rundown?
Yes. So, as you mentioned, their goalkeeper, Rafael Spiegel, will be unavailable, but we probably have a pretty good idea of what the rest of their lineup might look like. I am assuming that Mark Fisher will be starting at right back with Michael Edwards, David Garcia, and Julian Bravo in the back. More than likely behind Danny Trejo, Bobose Birahunga, and Tommy McCabe and Wolfgang Prentice. I apologize to Bobose if I butchered his name there. I am not used to Ugandan names. It clearly seems. Peter Wilson and Faisal Batash are likely to start up top. They have started the last couple of games, and I don't see, based on who they got in the roster, I don't expect to see that changing. Wolfgang Prentice out on the wing leads the way with 2 goals, and why players generally lead with assists and chances created, including, obviously, Wolfgang Prentice. He has an assist as well. So he is the overall leader on the team for, I guess, goal contributions at this point. Look to see them trying to get a lot of width, specifically out of Prentice and Danny Trejo. And behind them, Julian Bravo will probably help out with Prentice and Mark Fisher, assuming he starts behind Danny Trejo. Also assuming he starts. Peter Wilson and Faisal Batash. I think that Wilson is going to be the higher striker more than likely. And if Batash is going to be getting high, that'll happen sometimes, but more often I assume that he will be trying to facilitate things as well with the midfielders that stay in the middle, those being Birahunga and McCabe, the more defensive of those two. And yeah, so they have mostly been playing in at least what FOTMOB calls a 4-4-2. You don't necessarily have to take FOTMOB with, you can take it with a grain of salt is the way that I would like to put that. So they do have a general way of playing that they will try to recreate here. And I think with the width of the Al Lang field, they are probably going to try and take advantage of that. Obviously, the good news is that we also take up a lot of that width. Charlie Ostrom, if he starts, or possibly Sebastian Cruz, and then Dion Akoff, assuming he starts, maybe that would be Sebastian Cruz, I don't know. But the width provided by those players will also keep them in check. And then, you know, we're going to have to worry about players like Prentice and Trejo getting in behind them. But that's also why we have the box four in midfield that we've kind of been playing with, which is the two center backs, Dos Santos and Schaefer, and in front of them, Hilton and Schneider. And both Hilton and Schneider have helped us spread out by dropping in between our center backs and allowing them to get wider. I'm assuming that we'll see a little bit more of that here. Also, Oakland have used some younger players over the course of this season and in the past. They're probably going to continue to do that. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad players, but they might be less capable in certain moments, especially under dire pressure by the players at Al Lang, hopefully. So we can win this one. It's one that I think that we have a good chance of winning, but obviously here's the problem. These streaks are so rare because they are difficult. It was so hard to get a fourth win in a row, right? It took us all the way up to 90 plus 3 minutes, maybe 90 plus 4 minutes. I don't have
against
the exact
time.
Against
one of the worst defensive teams in the league so far, too.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Scoring goals is both easy to – it's both easy to concede, and it's also very difficult to score. That's the way that soccer is, right? So Oakland are not going to be pushovers here, but they're not going to be the toughest team that we play all season. Additionally, based on the momentum that we have, this game is at home. I feel good about it. That's what I'll say. I feel good that our momentum will carry us through this game, but it's just very difficult to keep a streak like this alive. There's a reason that teams not losing over a certain period generally is newsworthy. There's a reason that teams winning and winning and winning is even more newsworthy. So I would love to see the Rowdies do it. That is part of my prediction I'll put out there. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. For what it's worth, the backup keeper on Oakland's roster has conceded 10 goals in the last four games he started. His last appearance was October 2025, conceded 3 against New Mexico. Before that, the week before, conceded 2 against Las Vegas. Then back in September of 25, played 2 games where he conceded 2 to Pittsburgh and 3 to Charleston. So he hasn't had a great run of form in the few games that he has appeared in. And he hasn't really gotten action since, any action this season. So hopefully that's something we can take advantage of and capitalize off of a guy who hasn't played any soccer this year and who has struggled in the few games he did play last year. We're incredibly threatening on the attack right now. And I think it's possible that we can do that. But again, Oakland started off pretty well, fell off a little bit in the last two games. But again, it's so early on in the season. I think it's hard to kind of, for most teams, already say that this is a bad team, right? This is a good team, or that they have an identity or they don't have an identity. There's a few teams you can say that for. I think the Rowdies are one of them. You can say there's a pretty clear identity, which is that they're really isn't one. Like, the identity is that there's so much utility with the players, you can move them around, whatever, come from a bunch of different places in the attack, and that it's a good squad. I don't know what to make of Oakland, because I don't know a ton of these names, right? You mentioned that they like to play with a good amount of young players. We'll probably see that. Notable exception is Tyler Gibson. He's 35 years old. Danny Trejo is always dangerous. You know that name because he's been around the USL for, not for a ton of time, but had his moments with Las Vegas a while ago, and then looking at his FOTMOB profile, and was pretty good at Birmingham 25. So there's names that you'll recognize on here, Tommy McCabe being another one, right? He's been solid. at this level, particularly annoying when you played for Loudon last year and the year before that. So there's talent, right? I don't know if Oakland is a squad that's going to come out to Al Lang and decide to establish their identity and, you know, get on the attack, on the ball, get right upfield and make you play defensively. I think you could be looking at another game where you're sitting back a little, or where they're sitting back a little bit or a lot, a bit, and you have to break them down over the course of the game. We'll see. Like I said, their backup keeper, McIntosh, struggled in his few games last season. It hasn't gotten any action this season. So hopefully that plays into our favor. And we can get out of there with a tough, or not a tough, a comfortable win. Code Chef in the YouTube comments says, get off the couch into the stands. Absolutely. It's a good message for everybody listening to this, which I'm sure if you are, you're probably one of the people that are going to be there no matter what. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your dog. I don't know. Are we doing another like Rowdy's pet night? What do we call that? Did we call it like Rough Rowdy's, or am I making that up?
I think that you're right. I just don't know when it is, because I am certain that that is on our, I'm certain that that's on the schedule again.
Yeah. Yeah. Save your dog for that game, but bring out anybody else, right? Like pack the stadium again. Al Lang is really, really fun when there's a lot of people, even when there's not a lot of people, it's a blast, right? So get out there, pack it out. Let's get 7,000 people out there. By the way, speaking of 7,000, Boise with a great opening crowd. Really, really cool in League One, 7K. Let's make it a really, really fun atmosphere this weekend. Pack it out, continue to make it a fortress, and get out of there with a win. James, anything else to add? Should we get to our predictions?
Let's do it. Let's predict away.
I'll start us off with a 2-0 win, just so that nobody claims I stole their score prediction. I like our back line. Again, this is kind of a vibes pick because I don't really know what to make about Oakland other than what I've seen in clips and the numbers. But I really like our back line, and it seems like they have kind of been, well, actually, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about Oakland. I just like how we're playing. We've got great momentum. We're playing at home. I think we can break them down with a couple goals and prevent any silly counterattack with some good speed on the back from both Schaefer, who is surprisingly quick, and Dos Santos, who's also pretty quick.
I will follow that up as well and point out where everybody else is. Eureka, our producer, 3-1 win prediction. Parker, our writer, 2-1 win prediction. Connor, our writer, a 1-1 draw prediction. Possibly bold, but also, you know, it's relatively reasonable. It's relatively easy to pick a draw in soccer. It's honestly not that, it's not that crazy, of course. Yeah. I, however, will go with a win, a 2-1 win. And by the way, anybody who said that I was going, or I used somebody else's, when I wrote the doc yesterday, that's when I added that bullet point. So I don't want to hear it. Moving on to our extra time segment. I guess our very quick thing here is, unfortunately, Jamaica did not qualify for the World Cup. They lost 1-0 in a not super great to watch game against DR Congo. But DR Congo are in the World Cup. Jamaica are unfortunately not. I honestly do think that sucks. Not just for Jamali Waite, but there are a couple of other players around the USL Championship who would have been involved in that. So that would have been good for the USL Championship to have more players. There are going to be some players from this league in the World Cup. Curaçao has a couple of players, but yeah, it would have been great to have more. So that's, I guess, just a missed opportunity for everybody. But DR Congo was the expected winner, and ultimately they got the job done. So fair enough there. Carlos, do you have anything to add to that or anything to add to the whole show?
I think that was the only thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah. Sucks. I love the Jamaican national team. They're fun to watch, but they didn't really find it in those two games, even in the game against, who were they playing? Suriname was against Bolivia. Who were they playing?
They played against New Caledonia, and that one was way too close.
So. Yeah, they never really found that in that game either. So I it was kind of expected by the time that second game rolled around. I didn't know if they were going to fix it all by then, which sucks. They have a lot of talent. We move, right? I think it's still cool for DR Congo, by the way, who haven't qualified for a World Cup in forever. So I don't, I do like the little, you know, extra spots that we have in this tournament now. It makes for really fun stories and qualifiers. And, you know, some people might say it makes qualifiers more meaningless, but I think it makes it more meaningful because you have a lot more teams that are fighting for spots that have never seen the World Cup or haven't seen the World Cup in like 60 years, fighting for those last spots. It's made it really, really entertaining. It made them fun, meaningful games, right up to the end of qualifying. So, good stuff. World Cup will be fun if you can shell out a college semester's worth of tuition to pay for a ticket.
Yeah.
Regardless, we move on. Thanks for listening. This has been a great episode. I love talking about this fun, like, away day, James. This is cool stuff. I'm glad you and Eureka were there and were able to enjoy a fun experience. Let's do this again. Let's keep it up. Let's keep up the momentum. Let's show up to Aling this weekend. Show up to the away games as they continue to play through the season. Go to the easy close ones too, right? Like there's close enough games that should be fun and drivable. Make it happen. Go Rowdies, James. Absolutely. Follow at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere and everywhere you get social media. We're there. Follow me at CarlosGPA10. James, where can people follow you?
I am also on Twitter, and you can reach me at RBLR James K.
This has been the RBLR Sports Podcast. We're talking Rowdies. Like and subscribe to it on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Did I say Google Podcasts already? We're there too. And get out one more time. This is my last plug. Get out to the stadium this weekend. I didn't like our last home game crowd. I think it could have been a lot better. But I think this team deserves a lot of people in the stands. So jump on the bandwagon, get your friends to jump on the wagon, and let's make this a really, really fun season because it started off really, really fun so far. James, for another week of talking Rowdies and talking about a Rowdies win, let's make it five in a row. Mm-hmm. Come on, you Rowdies.
Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.